welcome everyone to this Webster Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is exploiting the automatic client reconnect feature in WebSphere MQ7. Today's presenter is Angel Rivera. Angel is a member of the WebSphere MQ support team for Unix and Windows platforms. He has experience with the JMS client of WebSphere MQ and WebSphere Application Server. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Angel. You may begin.
Thank you, David. Hello, MQ fans. I hope that you're having a great day. Thank you very much for taking the time from your busy schedule to attend this conference call or to listen to the recording of the presentation, Exploiting Automatic Client Reconnect in WebSphere MQ7. The main motivation for preparing this presentation is to address some of the common questions and pitfalls that we are seeing in PMRs regarding this topic. Next page, please. I will give a brief introduction to automatic client reconnection. And an important requirement is to use full duplex in the server connection channels. And I will explain that in more detail. I like to start my examples using first the simplest scenario possible, and then little by little, I'll introduce one concept at a time until a more complex scenario is presented. I will use a non-reconnectable NQ client application that connects to a queue manager and puts a message. In this case, the simple example is NQS put C. Then we explore what happens when there is a network problem or when the queue manager terminates. Because there are several ways to tell the NQ client how to connect to the queue manager, the simplest method of using this is the NQ server environment variable. Then, the next step is to repeat the same scenario, but with the only change that a reconnectable NQ client application is used. In this case, the more sophisticated sample is called MQS SPHAC. We'll talk more about that. Next, we will review the precedence of mechanisms for a client to connect to a queue manager. This is an area that has several common pitfalls, and it is worth to discuss in detail. For example, the setup and use of the client channel definition table, or CCDT, could be a bit intimidating when you first try to use it, but you may become very frustrated if you make changes to the CCDT and the MQ client does not seem to be reading the CCDT. And one common problem is that you may use also an MQ server variable, or you are using the MQ client configuration file, and these methods have a precedence over the CCDT. Thus, the CCDT file might be very well constructed, but the MQ client is using another method that has higher precedence. Another common question that we get is about the intervals that the MQ client will use to try to reconnect. We will talk more about the reconnect interval, which can be set using the MQ client configuration file or mqclient.ini. We will proceed to talk more about how to connect to another queue manager when the one that we wanted to use is not available. This can be specified by a connection name list. One typical case is when using multi-instance queue managers. Finally, then we will explore a scenario that uses the client channel definition table. And finally, we will discuss the reconnection capabilities of the MQJMS client that runs inside the WebSphere application server. Next page, please. What is automatic client reconnection? This is slide number 3. It allows MQ client applications to reconnect automatically without writing any additional code by configuring a number of components. In some cases, you will need to modify the application to incorporate new options. And the automatic client reconnection is in line. That's it. The connection is automatically restored at the point in the client application program, and the handles to open objects are all restored. It means that you don't have to connect again from scratch. This feature was introduced in MQ7.01. Next page, please. Slide number 4. This feature applies to MQ clients connecting to the queue manager using a transport type of client. That is, using a network connection, TCP/IP, via a server connection channel, SVRCONN, ServerCon. This feature does not apply to MQ clients using a transport type of bindings, which use inter-process communications, share memory, and which do not use TCP/IP. Next page, please. Page 5, requirements. Both the client application and the queue manager must be at 7010 or higher. If you are using JMS, the client needs to be at 7013 or higher. The server connection channel must be full duplex, and I will spend far a lot of time talking about this. This is a very common question. The shared conversations of the channel attribute must have a value of 1 or greater. In MQ version 7, there is a new attribute for the channels called Share CNV for shared conversations. And a value of 0 in this channel for this attribute means that the channel is half duplex or the equivalent of version 6. A value of 1 or greater means full duplex. The default is 10. Next page, please. Okay. This is slide 6, and this is half duplex, a very simple explanation. Okay. The topic of half duplex and full duplex is so fundamental for many of the new features in version 7, including automatic client reconnection, that this topic deserves a good explanation. Let's start with the only behavior available for server connection channels in MQ version 6, which is half duplex. This behavior can be observed also in MQ version 7 is if shared CNV, the attribute in the server connection channel, has a value of 0. When using half duplex, it's like using a two-lane road, but only one lane is open for both data and control. The other lane is closed. On the left side of the feature, we have the MQ client application, which uses the MQ client shared libraries to connect to the queue manager, which is shown on the right side of the feature. And then the MQ client puts one message. The code in the shared libraries is the one that does the actual connection and puts the message in behalf of the application. I found that it is a bit easier to understand the half duplex scenario if we use a card to represent the packets of information that are exchanged between the client and the queue manager. Thus, let's use our imagination to visualize this scenario. Let's start that you get very small and that you are standing inside the MQ shared libraries that are used by the MQ application client. When the application issues the MQ Connect call, it passes the request to the MQ shared libraries, which passes the request to you. Then you go to the gate, and then you get your wizard wand from your pocket, wave it, and like Harry Potter, you shout the incantation, MQ Connectus! You notice that the road begins to be built underneath your feet, and this road is extending outward, carrying you through the internet towards the desired queue manager. But where exactly is carrying you? We will talk later about how the road gets the directions on how to get to the proper queue manager and the port. The road continues to grow longer, and you are riding at the front of the road. Eventually, you see the target host, and you see different queue managers. You get closer to the desired queue manager, and you see that there is a big entrance that has the port number of the queue manager. The default port is 1414. You see that there are 100 docking gates, which is the default. Some of those docking gates have already roads attached to them, and the road eventually connects to the one of the ones that are not occupied. You have arrived to the queue manager. You look back and notice that the road has two lanes, but only one is open and has a width that allows only one car to pass through. The other lane is closed and cannot be used. Remember, in this scenario, we're talking about half duplex connection. The arrival of the road into the queue manager wakes up the corresponding attendant to that docking gate. This attendant is an instance of the AMQRMPPA process. We call it the RAMPA process. The attendant asks you for your user ID, and you provide it to him. He will check your user ID to see if your name is listed in the directory of the host, if you are invited to the party. If you are not listed, then he will refuse to communicate with you anymore and issues the error 2035 NQRC not authorized and will disconnect the rope from your docking gate. It's like a bouncer in a nightclub. If you are listed, then he will check one more thing. If you have authorization to connect to the queue manager, if there is not set NQ out for the queue manager to allow you to connect, then the attendant will do the same thing, refuse to communicate and give you a 2035 and disconnect the road. If you are authorized to connect, then the attendant will leave the road connected to the docking gate and he will give you a car. I like to visualize a small car like a yellow Volkswagen Beetle. You get into the car and you drive back to the beginning of the road to tell the application that you connected successfully. Now the application wants to put a message that says, hello, and puts the message into an envelope. Then it passes the envelope to the MQ Share Libraries, which passes it to you. You carry the envelope inside the car and you drive the car to the queue manager through the only lane that is open. You reach the queue manager and the docking attendant gets the envelope, gives it to the another process, which extracts the message and puts the message into the queue. At this time, the car is at the queue manager's side, the right side of the feature. But let's assume that the queue manager is very busy and does not send the car within 1 minute. The application may get impatient. I may want to send a control packet to the queue manager to say, hey, are you still available? Question, could the application on the left side send a request for status? Answer, no. In half duplex mode, there is only one car per road, and the car in this scenario is at the docking gate of the queue manager. The application has to wait for the queue manager to send the car back. Next slide, please. This is page 7. The queue manager received the put request and then replies with an acknowledgement to the client application. The reply is put inside an envelope. You take the envelope with you and you drive the car through the only gate lane in the road back to the application. The car arrives on the other side, on the left side of the feature, and then you pass the envelope to the MQ client libraries and then they pass the acknowledgement to the application. Now, again, the car now is on the left side. But let's imagine that the application takes 30 minutes to put another message. If the queue manager wanted to send an inquiry to the client to say something like, hey, are you still available? The queue manager cannot do it because it does not have the car. It is half duplex. The car is with MQ client. The queue manager needs to wait for the MQ client to send back the car. This road can be removed gracefully under two situations. One, the MQ application disconnects from the queue manager. Or two, the queue manager is terminated with a minus I immediate flag. The graceful disconnection will free up the docking station and a new connection can be used at the docking station at the queue manager. Next page, please. Page 8. If the network has a problem or the queue manager ends unexpectedly, the NQ client cannot send a quick message called a heartbeat, pom pom, pom pom. Sorry, there were two heartbeats there, to the queue manager asking for status. And vice versa, the queue manager cannot send a heartbeat to the client asking for a status. You can think of this network problem to be equivalent of a damaged lane. The road is still there, but it cannot be used. This damaged lane is still using a docking gate. This docking gate cannot be used anymore with the old road, but it's not made available for new roads. If the NQ client wants to talk with the queue manager, it cannot use this road because it's broken and needs to establish a new connection. This means that when the new road arrives to the queue manager, it uses a new docking gate. The queue manager in this case has now two roads, one that is not working anymore and one that is working. But let's assume that the queue manager is working with the default 100 docking gates. Now that there are two roads connected to the queue manager, this means that only 98 additional connections can be made. However, the queue manager cannot just destroy the road that is not working anymore. Again, this is half duplex. Thus, this road is an example of an orphaned channel. Let's push this example to the extreme. Let's assume that the second road breaks and the first one, the same as the first one, and the application creates yet a third road to put a message to the queue manager, and it is successful. Now there is room only for 97 additional connections. But the road breaks again. But the application tries again and creates yet a fourth road. It is successful, but eventually breaks, and so on, and so on, and so on, until there are 100 broken roads. And eventually, when they are trying to do one more connection, they The queue manager will issue an error saying NQ9513, maximum number of channels reached. The problem is that now, when a totally different application tries to connect to the queue manager, this application will fail because it goes the above error message. At this point, due to the orphan channels, the queue manager will need to be stopped and restarted in order to get rid of those orphan channels. One way to prevent this problem was to use the keep alive function in version 6, or better yet, you can enable the full duplex capability of the road in MQ version 7. Next page, please. Slide 9. When using full duplex, it's like using a two-lane road and both lanes are open for data and control. In addition of having both lanes open, we can have now an unlimited number of cars that can travel in either lane and at the same time. Next page, please. Page 10. The MQ application can send a heartbeat to the queue manager at any time, and vice versa. The queue manager can send a heartbeat to the MQ application. Let's suppose that there is a network outage and the MQ application has terminated and then the network became operational again. After a certain interval in which the queue manager has not heard from the MQ application, the queue manager will send a heartbeat asking for a status. Are you still there? If there is no response to this heartbeat, then the queue manager will conclude that the MQ application has terminated and the queue manager will gracefully disconnect the connection, freeing the docking gate for usage by a new connection. There is no orphan channel in this case. Now, let's suppose that the MQ application did not terminate after the network outage. Then when the queue manager sends the heartbeat and the MQ shared libraries receive it, they will reply to the heartbeat and the queue manager will know that the connection is still active and will keep the connection. Finally, let's consider the case for the automatic client reconnection. Oh, Angel, finally, after 20 minutes talking, now I'm talking about the automatic client reconnection. The MQ application and the MQ queue manager were exchanging information when there was a small interruption in the network. The MQ shared libraries will wait for a certain interval and then will try to automatically reconnect. Notice that it is the MQ shared libraries who handle the reconnection attempts. The MQ application normally is not aware of these attempts to reconnect. If the MQ shared libraries cannot reconnect, they will wait for a longer interval and then will try to reconnect again. If the reconnection is successful, then the MQ application can continue to exchange information with the queue manager. These attempts to reconnect will be done for 30 minutes, which is the default. If after 30 minutes the MQ libraries cannot reconnect, then the MQ shared libraries will terminate the connection. Next page, please. Page 11. The following components do not support the automatic client reconnection, the MQ classes for Java. Again, we support for JMS. JMS is supported, just plain Java, not supported. There are managed XMS and managed .NET clients, C Sharp and Visual Basic. Again, they are not supported. And at the bottom of the slide is the link that has more details about that. Next page, please. Page 12. What about XA? XA stands for Extended Transaction. Extended transaction and reconnection to the same queue manager is supported. To different queue managers, not supported. Okay, in the case that is supported, when a failure occurs during a transaction, the transaction is doomed. It means that the final MQ commit will always back out. And the MQRC backed out return code is given to the application. The non-transactional tasks are allowed to complete. And please keep in mind that XA and reconnection to multiple or different queue managers are mutually exclusive. It is important to have state information during the reconnection. And when changing queue managers, which are different, the queue manager will not have the XA status information and therefore will not be able to continue the transaction. Okay? The XA interface is too restrictive to guarantee data integrity when dealing with multiple different queue managers. We get this question quite a lot. That's the reason I wanted to emphasize it here. Next page, please. Page 13. This slide has a different format, and I like to use this type of slides in the presentation in order to provide you with more information. In some cases, I will explain all the items in the slide, but in others, I will not. And you're welcome to review these slides at the time that is more convenient for you. In this case, there is information about the XA interface, and you're welcome to read it at your convenience. Next page, please. Page 14. Okay, what is a reconnectable scenario? Okay, only explicit ends or failures, such as a communications failure, network problem, a queue manager or listener failure, let's suppose that there was a hard disk that failed or something, the queue manager crashed, then it was not gracefully terminated, therefore the clients will try to reconnect. And the third item is stop connection, or if you do the end MQN with two flags, with a minus S flag, which means switch over for multi-instance queue managers, or the minus R flag for reconnect. Okay? And the following will not cause a reconnect: stop channel or any other NMQM. If you just do NMQM and you do not specify minus S or minus R, the reconnectable clients are not given the message, the instructions to try to reconnect. Okay? Next page, please. This is page 15. Again, there is a long note over here, and I will just talk about some of the flags for NMQM. The default behavior of NMQM without flags, well, the default actually is the flag minus C for control. This NMQM is too polite and may prevent the end of the queue manager when you really want to end it. Let me give you an example. If you have an MQS JMS client running an application server and the MQS JMS client is connected to the queue manager via server connection channel, then as long as this MQJMS client is connected, you cannot terminate the queue manager via the default flag. This situation includes when there are even no messages to be retrieved by the MQJMS client. Then, in this case, your queue manager is prevented from terminating by an application that is not really active because there are no messages for the application, but it's connected. And because it's connected, the queue manager will not terminate. Many customers instead exploit the following flag, that is minus I, immediate shutdown. The queue manager stops after it has completed all the NQI calls currently being processed. Any NQI request issued after the command had been issued will fail. Any incomplete units of work are rolled back when the queue manager is next started. Now, the minus I flag is still polite, but it's more assertive. And this flag is not aggressive, okay? Then, in fact, it's used quite a lot by customers. This flag will not terminate an operation that is currently in progress, okay? If somebody is putting a message, the queue manager will wait until the message is put, the acknowledgement is given, and then, even if the client is connected, it will disconnect the connection in a graceful mode, okay? The other two flags mentioned in this slide are the minus R, which is just is a way to tell the reconnectable clients, hey, start trying to reconnect. And the minus S, as mentioned, is to switch over from an active instance to the standby instance of multi-instance queue managers. Next page, please. Page 16. Now, let's proceed to study in detail a baseline scenario by using an MQ sample program. This sample is AMQ-S-PUT-C, and it is part of the traditional samples to put and get messages. It's listed the third one. We have some bindings mode samples and client mode samples. In this case, it's highlighted in blue, AMQ-S-PUT-C. This slide shows the location of where these samples are located. And next page, please. Page 70. Let's start with a basic scenario. The MQ client application MQS PUTC connects to the queue manager in client mode, not bindings, and puts one message into the queue. Then the queue manager is terminated with NMQM minus I for immediate and R for reconnect. And an example of the situation when you do when you need to do the NMQM minus IR, for example, is when you need to terminate the queue manager, put an interim fix quickly, and restart the queue manager, which may take less than 30 minutes. In that way, those client applications will try to reconnect just for the default period of 30 minutes. And next page, please. Page 18. Okay. This is the diagram for the basic scenario. On the left side, we have host 1, that's the machine there, which has a queue manager QM underscore 75. This queue manager has a queue called Q1 and a listener at port 1414. On the right side, we have host 2, which has the MQ client application NQS put C, which uses client connections to put a message into a queue in a remote queue manager. There are several mechanisms to tell the MQ shared libraries how to connect to the queue manager. The simplest way is to use environment variable called MQ server, which can be set up in the profile or directly in the command. In Windows, you use the command set. In Unix, you use the command export. In Unix, you need to enclose the attribute between quotes because of the presence of the parentheses in the port number. In Windows, you do not have to do that. After you specify the MQ server variable, then you put MQS put C, Q1 at QM75, and the MQ client libraries will use the server connection channel, which is system def server con, which is specified in the MQ server, and will contact host 1 at port 1414. Okay? And then the message is delivered. Next page, please. In this slide and in the next, a more detailed explanation of this scenario is given, and we establish how to connect to the queue manager using MQ server. Then you type NQS put C, Q1 space QM underscore 75, and what you will see is the prompt, the information message saying sample NQS put C 0 start. Then target queue is Q1, which means that it's already connected. And this utility does not use any prompts. It will just wait for you to enter something. And then you can enter a short text, such as message space dash 1, and then you press the enter key. And at this point, we'll just go to the next slide, please. And you open another window, and then you terminate the queue manager with a minus R, for immediately, R indicates reconnectable. And then you go back to the other window, and then you will see that the NQS put C, if you try to continue using it, it will terminate with these four error messages. And the return code is 2009. You can use a utility in MQ called MQRC. It's a line command utility, and if you type MQRC space 2009, then you will get a brief description, the short name for the return code. In this case, is MQRC underscore connection underscore broken, which means a little bit more than just 2009, huh? Okay. Indeed, the connection was broken by the queue manager, but it was done in a graceful and controlled manner. Thus, in this particular case, this RC 2009 can be ignored. Next page, please. Page 21. Okay, in addition to the return code 2009 that is received by the client, the following error will be generated at the general error log of the queue manager. And you will see this particular error, MQ9208. And then in the action code, you will see TCP/IP receive call was 10054, and that error message, it was in Windows, it's called econ reset, which means connection reset by peer. This occurs when established connection is shut down for some reason by the remote computer. And indeed, in this case, the queue manager was terminated, and this application, which is non-reconnectable, couldn't reconnect and therefore got disconnected. Next page, please. Okay. this application, NQS.C, was not developed to take advantage of the automatic line reconnection, and the application could not begin to try to reconnect when the queue manager ended gracefully and requested the reconnectable clients to try to reconnect. Then when the queue manager restarted, the application was not able to reconnect. Page 23, please. Now, this kick it up a notch, and we'll use now a more sophisticated sample that is available. It's called the High Availability Sample Programs. Two of them are shown here. The first one is the one that we'll use in our scenario. It's called AMQS for sample, P for put, HAC for High Availability Client Mode. And this is a nice sample. And let's go to page 23, please. 24, the next one. And let's perform the same steps as in the basic scenario, but this time let's use that more sophisticated sample that will connect to the queue manager and client mode and then put a message into a queue. After the application connects and puts several messages, then the queue manager is restarted and using the minus IR, and then we'll start again with STRMQM, and then we'll take a look at how is the behavior, okay? Let's go to the next page, please. Page 25. Still, we'll be using the same way of defining the MQ server variable. That has not changed. And note that in NQS.C, the user types a short message and then press the enter key. In this case, this tool doesn't prompt you for anything. In contrast, this tool, every second, will generate a message that will have an increasing count. In that way, you will know right away how many messages this tool has generated. For example, in second one, we'll say message one. In second two, we'll say message two. Second 60, we'll say message 60. Okay, next page, please. 26. At this point, the queue manager is terminated, but again, we have to specify the minus IR, okay? And if we look at the output from this sample, we'll notice that, for example, it says message 3, and then, pow, this sample is designed to pass the events that the NQ libraries are receiving to the application, and the application now is aware of what is happening underneath, and it's put in there. An event, it says connection reconnecting, delay 66 milliseconds, then the next timestamp, it says the same thing, but that delay is 989. The third line says delay 1,399. We notice that the delays are getting increased. Okay, it's not like every 10 milliseconds or every second. It's changing, and we'll talk more about that. Page 27, please. Okay, at this point, we'll restart the queue manager, and now we go back to the window where we have the sample application. And we notice, again, connection reconnecting, delay 3,415, next line, delay 7,357, and eventually says connection reconnected, yeah! Well, the yeah is mine, it's not from the application. And then the application continues, and it says message 4, message 5, and so on. Okay, very nice. Next page, please. Page 28. Now, if the queue manager is ended without the proper flags that are minus R for reconnection or minus S for switchover, then the even reconnectable clients will terminate and will not reconnect when the queue manager restarts. Okay? Then this is an example of what happens if we terminate the queue manager without these flags. In this case, we can see that it says message 1, and then we get an NQ put ended with reason code 2162, and the next one it says the NQ close ended with return code 2009. We know that 2009 means connection broken. We studied that in a couple of slides back. But what is the code 2102? Again, we use the utility MQRC space 2162, and means queue manager is stopping. Okay, very good clue there. Next page, please. Page 29. Okay. Now, it's important now to introduce what is the precedence for connecting to a queue manager. There are five mechanisms, and this is the order. Okay? The order has a meaning. The first one is pre-connect exit. This was added in NQ 7.1. It is advanced. I'm not going to talk about it. The number two is NQ Con API call is in the application code or when you pass it as a flag, okay? That's the second precedence. Before this pre-connect exit, that was the high. Number two was the highest priority. Now is number two. Okay. Number three is the NQ server environment variable. That's the one that we have played with in these scenarios. Again, this is the highest priority of the customizable ones, okay? Number three, NQ server. Number four is something called NQ configuration client file. It's called the nqclient.ini file. It was introduced in version 7. And number five, the lowest at the bottom, is the ccdt file, okay? If the NQ server variable is defined, which is number three, then you cannot use number four and number five. You have to undefine number three in order to use number four. You need to undefine also number four in order to use number five. Number five cannot be used if NQ server is available or NQ client is available, okay? We get this problem very frequently, and that's the reason I'm stressing about that particular type. Let's go to next page, please, page 30. Okay, in the previous scenarios, we did not use number one, pre-connect exit, number two, MQM con API. Instead, we use number three, MQ server. We need to unset MQ server in order to use number four or number five. Okay, sorry, I'm repeating this again. This is a very common pitfall. Let's go to the next page, please, page 31. The NQ client configuration file, this is the number four in our list, in the precedence, okay? Remember that NQ server environment variable has higher precedence, and if it is set, then its presence will not allow the NQ client ini to be used. And all NQ client applications that can access the above nqclient.ini file can use the settings within it. And there are several instances for this nqclient.ini, but the only one that I'm going to refer in this document, in this presentation, is the channels instance. And sometimes we get questions from customers asking when they should use NQ server and when the nqclient.ini. The NQ server can be specified in the dot profile or of your session. For example, you have user ID 1 that will be used to run application 1, and it's easier to use the NQ server to communicate with the QManager 1. It's very simple scenario. And if you decide later on to use QManager 2, then you just log in to the user ID 1 and modify the NQ server stem in your profile and point to the QManager 2. That's easy and fast to do, not a problem. However, over weeks and months, you eventually create 50 more user IDs, and each one runs a different application. Do you want to continue using NQ server with 50 applications? What happens is instead of QManager 1, now they have to use QManager 2. Do you want to modify 50 profiles? Probably not, okay? And that's when the nqclient.ini, or the ccdt file for that matter, can be used, okay? Then in that way, you are shielding your work also. Then you modified only once the nqclient.ini, and all those 50 user IDs are now up to date. But that could be also a problem in the sense, okay, of those 50, 48 of them really need to use the new QManager 2, but for any reason I want two user IDs to use the old QManager. Well, for these exceptions, you can use the NQ server environment variable that will, because it has precedence, then you can ensure that it will go to QManager 1, okay? Next page, please, page 32. This page has the locations where you can find the nqclient.ini file, and I will not go too much into it. The only thing that I will mention is number one, there is an environment variable called nqclntcf for nq client configuration file. If it's present, then it will tell exactly what is the location and the path and name of the ini file. Let's go to the next page, please, page 33. Now, let's repeat the scenario with the AMQSP PHAC, the Put High Availability Client. We need to unset MQ Server. Well, how do you unset MQ Server? Because we were playing with that. Let's suppose that we have in the same session. In Windows, you have to use set space MQ Server equals and enter. That's enough. That will unset the variable. It still is listed, but with an empty value. In Unix, you need to use the command called unset space MQ Server, no equals, okay? And that will remove it. Then by not having MQ Server, then, again, from the list of five scenarios, then we are enabling the number four or number five. In this case, we want to go to number four. In our case, this file, mqclient.ini, will be located in MQ data path. Okay. When in MQ 7.1 or later, when you do set mqenv, you will have something called MQ data path. And that will show you where is the data located, and that's one of the locations for the QM client.ini file. Another way is to use that a new environment variable called mqclntcf. Next page, please. Page 34. And this is an example of the content. There is a stanza called channels, colon, and we'll discuss several of parameters, but the two main ones that most of the people will have is def recon. It means default reconnection. The value is yes, which means yes, you want to have a reconnection as part of the default behavior of your applications. The second parameter is called server connection params, equals, and that's the same format as the MQ server. You have the channel name, slash TCP, slash localhost and 1414. You can have also the connection name list, okay? Now, an important thing here is some customers were trying to not use the CCDT and were trying to use server connection params as a mini CCDT, and they wanted to have a list of different channel names and so on. Mm-mm, that doesn't work. The only thing that can have a list is the list of queue managers. It's only one channel, system, whatever channel is there is only one is specified. Again, the list is only for the queue managers. Okay? Now, let's go to the next page, please. Page 35. There are two more parameters that most of the time you do not have to modify, but these are important ones to really have a better idea about automatic line reconnection. The first one is the maximum reconnect interval. The default is 1,800 seconds or 30 minutes. And the setting under the channel stanza will be MQ reconnect timeout. And you can modify. Let's suppose that you want to wait only 15 minutes or 45 minutes. You can modify, okay? Now, the second parameter is called reconnect intervals. And it tells how the delays will happen when they are trying to reconnect. And it consists of a fixed part and random part, okay? The default is this, recon delay equals. There are three pairs. The first pair is 1,000, 200. The second pair is 2,000, 200. The other one is 4,000, 1,000. What is this? Well, the first pair means initial delay is 1 second, plus a random interval up to 200 milliseconds. It means that it could be 1,000 milliseconds, it could be 1,001 milliseconds, 1,100 milliseconds, up to 1,200 milliseconds. Easy. Why? Well, I'll explain it in the next slide. The second delay is 2 seconds plus up to 200 milliseconds. And then the later delays are 4 seconds up to 1,000 milliseconds. It means another second, okay? These numbers are in milliseconds, but it is a bit harder to think in milliseconds. We are used to think at least in seconds. And I would like to give you a frame of reference. On average, a human eye takes between 150 and 400 milliseconds to complete a single blink. There are many factors that affect the speed, okay? So a person may blink roughly between 2 and 6 times every second and barely notice it because the blink takes so little time. let's take an average of 200 milliseconds. Thus, given that it takes roughly 1 second to say Mississippi 1 and another second to say Mississippi 2, then I was thinking about submitting a requirement to say that, hey, that the values for the first pair for recon delay should be changed to open parentheses, Mississippi 1, comma, one blink, close parentheses. Sorry, bad joke. Next page, please. Page 36. Reconnect interval. It seems that the reconnect interval is a bit convoluted. Is there a reason for it? Yes, there is. There is. The main reason for having a combination of a fixed and random part is to avoid a massive reconnect attempt simultaneously from many clients. For example, if there are 1,000 reconnectable clients connected to the queue manager, if the queue manager is stopped with NQM-IR and restarted, what will happen? If there was only a fixed part in the reconnect interval, then 1,000 clients will try to reconnect at the same time. 1,000. At the same time, in the same millisecond. Wow. And in a sense, it's kind of a denial of service attack. In a sense, too many requests for service, depending on the conditions of your queue manager, the system resources, and workload, the queue manager may have trouble answering all those requests in a timely manner, okay? But having a random part allows for spreading the reconnection attempts without overloading. Let's start just, again, a little bit more about, for illustration purposes, a simple case. Instead of 1,000, let's talk to just 2 reconnectable clients. Okay, what happens if the queue manager ends with a minus IR, and it restarts. The clients are trying both at the same time, connecting every second, let's say. And when there are 2 requests coming to the queue manager, that's a piece of cake. The queue manager can handle, no problem. But again, what happens if it's 1,000? And sometimes for some of these features in NQ, if you just use a small numbers, sometimes things do not make sense, but if you use really large numbers, you start kind of getting a better idea why we are designing things in this manner. 1,000, could be more. What about 10,000 clients reconnecting at the same time? What about 50,000? Wow. 50,000 in the same millisecond, that would be a lot. Then the idea of having a random part is the following. Let's suppose that of those 1,000 clients, 10 of those, they get the random number of 10 milliseconds. Then it means that 1 second and 10 milliseconds, only 10 of those will be able to reconnect at the same time. Then let's suppose there are 50 of the other clients that get a 20 millisecond random part. Then it means that at 20 millisecond from the start of the queue manager, then they are trying to reconnect, okay, only 50. Then the idea is, again, to stage, to just send them by small batches instead of having everything at once. And hopefully, by staging like this, and if you have enough resources and so on, the queue manager can respond in a timely fashion. Let's go to the next page, please. It's page 37. And, okay, what happens when the queue manager is terminated without the proper is terminated with the proper flags, but is not restarted within 30 minutes? What happens to the client? Well, they will try for 30 minutes, but eventually they will terminate, and the return code will be 2548, which means reconnect failed. And again, the queue manager was not up in the 30 minutes. Let's go to the next page, please, page 38. And reconnecting to another queue manager. The previous slides explain how reconnectable clients could reconnect to the same queue manager. Now, let's explore how you can allow an MQ client to connect to the next available queue manager in a list of queue managers. We can use the feature connection name list. And the figure here tries to show that if the connection to the queue manager 1 is down, or if the queue manager 1 is not accessible, maybe a network problem or something, then the NQ client libraries should try to connect to the next available queue manager. These queue managers could be independent, separate queue managers, or they can be instances of a multi-instance queue manager. Next page, please. Connection name list. Both non-reconnectable clients, such as MQS Putzi, and reconnectable clients can exploit the feature of connection name list. Let's assume that we have two separate queue managers. Each queue manager has a local queue, Q1, and every time that the application starts, it should connect to either one and put a message. If one of the queue managers is down, then the application should try the other queue manager. Next page, please. Page 40. And a connection name list specifies a list of one or more pairs of host ports separated by commas. This example is for two separate queue managers. For example, we have NQ server, whatever, and we have host 1 with port 1414, comma, host 2 with port 1415, okay? Again, the same specification can be used for the MQ client and INI inside the channel stanza. Page 41, please. Now, on page 41, let's explore this scenario. We are using the non-reconnectable apps like MQS Putzi, and we have two queue managers are running, MQ75 in host 1 in port 1414, queue manager MIG in host 2. And when we use MQS Putzi, we just specify the queue, but we do not specify the name of the queue manager. We are allowing the MQ clients, the MQ shared libraries to decide based on available information. In this case, we just do MQS Putzi and put message 1, and hey, at this time we have a valid question. Next, let's go to the next page, please. Page 42. Which queue manager gets the message? Well, the order in the connection name list is important. The first one in the list is host 1. And that will be tried first because it's in the first pair in the list, okay? If the client cannot reconnect to that one, then we'll go to the next. You can have 10 items there. Then it will, if the second one cannot be reconnected, it will try number 3, number 4, number 5. Let's suppose that we complete our functioning and then later on we try again the application from the start. It will not continue down the list. It will start from item number 1, okay? Then if you really want, because queue manager 1 to be in the first position every time, you need to put it there in the list, okay? In this case, because QM75 is first in the list, is the one that receives the message. Let's go to the next page, please, 43. And now let's stop QM75. We stop it with minus I for immediate. Again, we are not telling minus R or minus S or anything. We ended the queue manager, and now we have only one queue manager running, and this time is the QM MIG. And if we try the client again, we don't specify the queue manager name, we see that, yes, we are able to put message 2. But because MQ75 is down, then QM MIG succeeds. Wow, then we receive it. Then even non-reconnectable clients can exploit this feature, but it's only at the time of connection. Once the connection is established, it cannot; those older clients cannot use it. Okay, now let's go to page 44, please. Now let's change our example to the more sophisticated one, MQS PHAC. We'll do the same thing. We start, he's generating message 1, message 2, and both of them are received by the QM75 queue manager. Then we end the QM75 queue manager, and we tell it, hey, we want to reconnect. Then the application is saying, hey, I'm trying to reconnect. Hey, I was able to reconnect because I went down the list of the connection name list and I found that it is QM MIG, the next one, and it continues. And its message 3 is received by the other queue manager. So this is a really powerful example, really, really nice. This is really nice. Page 45, please. Now, we can have also multi-instance queue managers. And it's a variation of the previous scenario. In the previous scenario, we're two separate queue managers. They have to have the same channel name and the same queue in order for this to work well. But now with the multi-instance queue managers, remember multi-instance, we have two different hosts, and we have one instance is active, and all the connections go to that one, host one, for example. And the other is standby, which is a queue manager that is 95% up and running. There is a 5% there that still needs to be done, but cannot accept transactions or requests, okay? Then when we do a switchover, which means a graceful transition from the active to the standby will become the new active. Now, a failover is when something happens to the host in the active instance, it doesn't do it gracefully, and then the transfer goes to the standby, which becomes now the active. In this case, we have two different hosts, AMX1 and AX2, same port number, and one has the active and the other is the standby. We start the both of them. We define the MQ server variable, and it notice that at the bottom, the host names are different, but the port numbers are the same. Let's go to page 46, please. And in 46, we continue the example. Then when using the AMQS PHC example, the client will connect to the active instance and will put messages. Then we terminate the active with the minus S flag. Okay, here is not the R flag for reconnect, it's the S flag. The S flag has two meanings. One is switch over and to tell the reconnectable clients to reconnect. It's like an implicit minus R. Then that will make the standby to become the active, and then the client will be able to connect to the new active, which is in the other host. Let's go to 47, please. And this is the scenario, and you can see, you can spend a little bit more time later to go through the sequence. You can see that the application is able to reconnect to the new instance. Page 48, please. Okay, the last mechanism is called the client channel definition table. Is the fifth one in the hierarchy, and you need to unset MQ server and the MQ client.ini. Again, a common pitfall is that you are thinking that you are using CCDT, you create your client connection channels, you modify, you copy the file, whatever, and nothing works. Then you think that maybe there is a typo there, and you continue, you're messing up with the CCDT. Now you have done tremendous amount of things, you spend 1 hour, and still it doesn't work. Well, most likely, the first time you defined it probably was right, but because you have the MQ server, MQ and client ini, you were not allowing the CCDT to be used, okay? Very common problem, okay? For more details, I will suggest to take a look at the tech doc that is mentioned at the bottom of this one. Actually, it's a presentation. There is an MP3 file and the PDF file. Let's go to page 49, please. A CCDT file is generated when the queue manager is created, and it has a single entry, which is the system dev client con. Okay? To add channels to the CCDT, you need to define two channels with the same name. One is a server connection channel, which needs to be available in the target queue manager, and the other is a client connection channel, which is the one that will be stored in CCDT file, which will be used by the MQ clients. And these are the commands to create the server and con channel. Next page, please, page 50. And then how to define the client connection channel. You have to copy as binary the file called nqlclchl.tab into the client host. An extremely common mistake is to transfer this file as text. But it's a binary. You must specify the binary option. Otherwise, if you are using text mode to transfer a binary file, it will arrive corrupted. Then it will not work, okay? And then you have to serve the variables mentioned in the next page, and then you can perform the text in page 47, which was the one about testing the switchover from an active to an standby instance. Page 51, please. In 51, this is how you can unset the MQ server, the MQ client, and these are the locations for where the channel, the CCDT file is named. If you don't want to use the ungodly name of mqclchl.tab, you can use a variable to define a more appropriate name for you. Okay? Let's go to the next page, please. Page 52. There are For the really in-depth tutorials, I would suggest to take a look at these textures. One is just for plain C samples, and the other is for using JMS, standalone JMS. Okay, next page, please, page 53. And this page contains many resources about how to use the CCDT from WASP, from the WebSphere Application Server. And it's a little bit tricky for connection factories and activation specifications. And also you can use also the connection analyst. These tech notes are very thorough, and I would suggest to if you can take a look at them if you're using WASP. Page 54, please. And XA and CCDT. Again, not supported is to use any type of reconnection with multiple different queue managers. Okay? Supported is to single queue managers, okay, or to connect to a single multi-instance queue manager. Those are things that are supported. And this is the end of my presentation. Thank you very much for listening, and I would like to pass the control back to David.
Thank you, Angel, for a great presentation. Slide 55 contains some additional WebSphere product resources, which you may find useful. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe to get a list of mailing lists and to subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We do have a question from Motu Kumar.
Hi. That was a good presentation, and I have two questions to ask. One is with respect to the version 6. At my work, we still have the same issue that you were discussing about on the client reconnection. Like we are having like intermittent issues with the network, which is causing the client connections to terminate, and we have no other choice to other than to restart the MQ client services to establish a new connection, right? In the version 6. So is there any specific changes or things to do in the version 6 to make it reconnect?
No, I'm sorry. There was a lot of work done both at the queue manager and at the client level in order to provide that reconnection. And actually, first they needed to build something called the full duplex that was in version 7.0.0. And then in 7.0.1, that's when they added the automatic client reconnection. It was a lot of work. And then it cannot be really ported to version 6, or there are no further activities in version 6 to really exploit it, because really the full duplex is important for this function, and version 6 does not provide full duplex.
Okay, so when we get an error of 2009, the connection broken error into version 6, is there any steps that we should follow to fix the issue? Because we have the TCP keep alive, we have the heartbeat interval, and all those parameters set up, but still we facing the same issue. So is there anything that we are missing out from the options or parameter standpoint which we need to look in, or do you have any inputs on that?
Well, unfortunately, if there is a network glitch, uh-huh. It will very likely cause those clients to terminate. And
yes.
Because they don't have the reconnect capabilities, they will not be able to reconnect. And there is not much really that can be done.
Okay.
Again, that's the reason there was a lot of effort in version 7 in order to provide more reliability on the client side and to be able to reconnect and resist and to handle better any network glitches.
Okay. All right. And my second question is with respect to the version 7 reconnect feature.
Yes.
So you have mentioned that when you have used the standard program, sample program for high availability, and you were putting some messages in the queue, and after a certain point in time, you went and in the queue manager with the reconnect feature, and we saw that the information that it is trying to reconnect, right?
Yes.
So when you put this in terms of the application level, when the application is sending data to the MQQs, and if for some reason the network goes down or the queue manager goes down with the reconnect feature, what happens to the data that is sending by the application? Will that be on hold, or will that be stored somewhere until the reconnect is happening, or what will happen to the application data?
Okay, good question. If the data is persistent, then it will not be lost. Okay? If it's not persistent, then it depends on the timing on when the disconnect happened. And in some cases, you may lose the data.
Okay.
It's persistent, if you define your application to handle persistent messages within a sync point specifically, then the messages will not be lost. But for non-persistent, which is the default in many situations, then, you may lose some data.
Okay, so when application is trying to send some data to the MQQ using the client connection, right? So it issues as the MQCon and MQ open and put and stuff like that. So when it does that and it is trying to reconnect, will the client application get the error message that it is trying to reconnect, or it will not have any information what is going on in the background?
Again, it depends on exactly in the timing, but let's suppose that the application is just about to do an MQ put and gives the MQ put information to the shared libraries. The shared libraries were just about to contact the queue manager when the queue manager told them, hey, I'm terminating, try to reconnect. Then the MQ client libraries still will have in the cache the message, and they will try to reconnect. And when eventually they reconnect with the queue manager, the libraries will send the information in the cache and put the message. In this case, the message was not lost. Now, what will happen if the timing was different, that the libraries already sent the message to the queue manager? The queue manager was about to store the message, but then there was a car crash on the queue manager or something. Then if it was not persistent, that message very likely is lost. Then when the queue manager restarts, the client will not have knowledge anymore of that message because it's erased from the cache, and that message will be lost. If it's persistent, the queue manager, the client will retain there will be a rollback on the transaction, and therefore the persistent message will not be lost.
Okay, I think I get that. But only last thing before I close. So when the first message is being sent by the application and the queue manager is disconnecting and it is issuing a reconnect, so in that situation, your client knows that there is a reconnect feature, so it is trying to reconnect with the current message which is in the cache. What happens to a new message that comes from the application? Will that also be added to the cache, or will that not be included?
It will not be included.
Okay, so then the application will get an error message or something for that new message that has been sent by the
Correct.
Application?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Okay, all right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Our next question comes from Adis Khan. Your line is open.
This is Adis Khan. Hi, Angel. Thank you for a useful presentation.
Thank you very much.
I have a very small question for you.
Yes.
Earlier you talked about the reconnectable scenarios. And so my question is, what if the channel is in the binding or a retry mode? Will the automatic client connect, reconnect feature work here? Like stop channel,
yeah.
I know if the channel is stop, you know, the automatic client reconnect feature won't work. But if the channel is in the binding or the, you know, sometimes you have a network issue,
yes.
there is no
yes.
connectivity, so that the channel goes into the binding mode. And then it gives up, and then, you know, it shows that it is in the retrying mode.
To be honest, I really don't know. I have not really experimented with that. My suspicion is that it will try to reconnect. But
okay.
I'm not totally sure. I'm sorry.
No,
but if
that,
you send me
fine.
An email, I can investigate more that question.
All right. Not a problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We do have a couple of questions in the group chat. The first one is, we are using ServerCon to connect. We sometimes get the return code from TCP/IP is 10061 or hex 274 dog. Can you help resolve this?
I don't know exactly off my head that particular error message, error code. If you can send me an email, I will be willing to investigate more and reply more thoroughly to you.
Okay.
Sorry.
And an Angel's email address is on slide one of the presentation. And then the next question is, if I am terminating client application, putting messages into queue abruptly, the queue might have uncommitted messages. There is a queue attribute called uncom, having numeric value. Is there a way to remove uncommitted messages from the queue?
Well, my understanding is that this reconnection to the same queue manager will be in line. It means all the handles, object handles will be the same and so on. Then I suspect that there will be no impact to the uncommitted ones. But what I will suggest, if you can send me again an email, I will investigate more this question. I'm not totally sure.
Okay. Then another question in the group chat. Where is the connection name list specified on the con name of the SVRCN channel?
It is in the con name attribute, and in the MQ Explorer it's also called connection name. Before, it's the same attribute. In version 6, the same attribute con name allows you to have only one host name and port number. In version 7, the same attribute was expanded in its function. Then instead of con name, it's really con name list. And you can have one item or multiple queue managers in the list.
Okay. And then another question, if I understand this right, could the application terminate the MQ client connection while MQ share library is trying to reestablish connection?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that again?
Well, what it says, could application terminate the MQ client connection while MQ share library try to reestablish connection?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you can do the disconnect. However, you need to really look at the source code for the sample of high availability to see how the activities from the libraries are make more transparent, available to the application. In that way, the application may get notification of the events, and if the application, many applications do not want, they don't care really what is doing the libraries are doing. Then I say, hey, you take care of it. I don't want to know. But some applications may want to be aware of what is happening. Then they will get these events, and they may decide, hey, there is a reconnection attempt. I don't want to continue with this. And then they can disconnect and they can terminate. But it's additional logic in your applications. But, yes, you can disconnect and terminate the activity.
Okay. And then the next question, can you do a presentation on how automatic client reconnect works with ZOS queue managers?
I will contact one of my colleagues from the ZOS team. I am in the Unix and Windows team.
Right.
And, but I can contact one of them.
All right, thank you. And then another question that just came in. Suppose I have one channel name set in MQ server, another set in MQ client.any, and another set in a channel table. The queue manager I want to be connected to is the queue manager in the client connection table. Will I connection attempt use MQ server, MQ client.any, or the client channel table? I believe you addressed that earlier.
Yes. There is a in this case, for example, is you have the MQ server, the MQ client.ini, and the CCDT. Unfortunately, our documentation is not very clear about the precedents. In some chapters and in some sections, it's a little bit clear. In some others, it's not. Then there could be confusion and say, okay, I have these three items where I can define connection information. Which one is the winner, in a sense? Well, the winner is MQ server. Of these three is the MQ server. If you define it and it's available, that's the winner. The other two are totally ignored. Now, if MQ server is not available, then you will have two more choices, the client and the CCDT. If the MQ client.ini is available and it has the channel substance, that's the winner. Then in order to use the CCDT, if that's the one that you want to use, you must undefine the MQ server. You must ensure that your application does not use the MQ client.ini, and then you can use the CCDT.
Okay. Thank you. There's a comment from the same person saying it's not clear in the documentation that precedence implies mutual exclusivity.
Yes. Yeah. You cannot combine MQ server and the. It's totally exclusive. I mean, if MQ server is there, anything else cannot be used. It's the only choice. The same thing with MQ client. If MQ client is available, the CCDT is totally ignored. You cannot combine.
Okay, thank you. And then another question. Can you describe a switch to standby when there is a hard crash and no end MQM reconnect is sent? What triggers the standby to become the primary?
Yes, I'll be glad to address this. This is a multi-instance queue managers. You have two different hosts, and you have the queue manager in what is you start the queue managers and using the minus X flag, which means multi-instance, and it's a racing condition. If you start them at the same time, the first one that really grabs a particular lock is the winner, okay? And that will become the active. Then the active has to grab three lock files, actually two files, and puts a lock into those files. Then as long as this active instance has the locks, the standby instance cannot become active. The standby instance is monitoring those locks every 10 seconds. Then every 10 seconds is like a child in a car. Are we there yet? 10 seconds. Are we there yet? Can I take the locks? 10 seconds. Can I take the locks? And the file server, NFS file server, for example, said, no, those locks are still used by the active. And then 10 seconds later, the same thing. Then that's the whole mission in life of the standby instance. Every 10 seconds to bother the file system server, can I use the logs? Can I use the logs? Now, if the active instance terminates abnormally or whatever, let's suppose that the active instance just dies unexpectedly. Then the NFS server is able to detect that the active instance is no longer active and is going to release the logs. Then every 10 seconds, this could take sometimes maybe a minute or two, and this is something that NQ cannot expedite. It is totally in the hands of the file system server. The file system server, maybe after a minute or two, will say, oh, these locks are gone. Therefore, I can make this file unlocked and make it available. Then the standby instance, 10 seconds, it will say, hey, can I grab the logs? And the file server will say, yes, now you can have it. Then the standby instance, I mentioned, is 95% of a full queue manager running. Now, by grabbing the logs, it can continue a few more steps and becomes a 100% active queue manager. Now, if we didn't have the automatic client reconnection with a connection nameless, the clients could not automatically reconnect from the active to the standby. Therefore, with multi-instance queue managers and automatic client reconnection with connection nameless, now those clients can have an automatic failover from one machine, from one instance to the other.
Okay, thank you. And we have another question. In the presentation, it was mentioned that end MQM-IR works effectively with multi-instance or con name list. So does that mean end MQM-IR will not work with single-instance queue managers?
Oh, yes. Yes, it can. Now, let me give you a scenario. You have a queue manager, and you have one application that is reconnectable, like the NQS PHAC, okay? And now you need to put an interim fix to the queue manager, but it will take you only 10 minutes to do so. Then you don't want to affect that client that is already connected. Then you, as a queue administrator, the same queue manager, you can end with minus I for immediate and minus R for reconnect. Then by doing the minus R, you are telling the reconnectable client, hey, you need to try to reconnect for 30 minutes, which is the default. Then the queue manager is gone. I mean, it's terminated. The client is still thinks that is connected and is trying to reconnect for 30 minutes. Then from the queue manager, then you apply the interim fix or whatever you need to do. You restart the queue manager within the 30 minutes, and then the client can reconnect. And in this scenario, it's a single queue manager, and there is no connection anomalies, there is no multi-instance, and so on. Then that's an example of a valid scenario.
Okay. A follow-up to that, though, is that he says in the example, it was mentioned that AMQS put can't reconnect.
Correct.
And why can't it work the same?
Yes, MQS put doesn't have the options in the MQ connect call to reconnect. It doesn't exploit the function.
Oh, got it.
Yes.
All right, thank you. And one more question. When using high availability, are there any considerations for ACR?
Yes, with high availability, it depends on how it's defined. In some cases, they are using a mapper of IP addresses. Then you have host 1 and host 2. Host 1 has IP address 123. Host 2 is kind of a standby, doesn't have an IP address in a sense. Then the client is talking to host 123. Then if for some reason host 1 terminates and the mapper of the IP addresses says, now IP address 123 goes to host number 2, and that becomes a full functional host. Then the client is talking to host 1-2 with IP address of 123. Then as long as the client is able to say, hey, I want to contact host 123, then when the host 1 is terminated, then or crash or something, then it will try to reconnect. And then it will say, okay, I got eventually a reconnection to host 123 in the other, queue manager 123 in host 123 in the other machine, and it should be able to reconnect. Now, in this case, you cannot use XA because there are two different hosts, okay? But you can use just plain reconnection. It's like a multi-instance in a sense. Like two separate connection queue managers. But you need to, if you are using the MQS put example, for example, that is not, it was not designed to reconnect, then it will not reconnect. But if you are using one of these sophisticated samples or if you have the proper options, yes, with HACMP, you can reconnect to the other machine.
We have no further questions.
Okay, thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Angel, for presenting today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.